to another episode of the Weekly Coop. Super excited to talk about just something, I guess, kind of just near and dear to me. And I say that in a sense of just being able to express myself fully as just a human being and just you seeing the normal side of me. And being able to just talk about normal subjects. So this is the Weekly Coop, but welcome to Conscious Convos with Coop. I'm going to talk about two things. The first one is I'm recording this now on Thursday, yesterday, because you're listening to this on Friday. Today is World Book Day, and I want to talk about World Book Day from the standpoint of why I got into writing. And the reason I got into writing was also because of this topic, which today on Friday is National Women's Day, which I've learned a lot from women in general, and I've learned to stay in touch with my softer side or my feminine side, which is definitely unique because I would consider myself very masculine as a man, and I would consider myself a very strong man, physically speaking and mentally speaking, where I've had people try to throw me off my game, you know, throw me off my flow. But I don't allow it. I don't let people tell me what to do because that is me being a man, and allowing myself to stay in my masculinity as a leader, but allowing the softer side to come out when my creativity strikes. So I will start with the National Women's Day and just like women and the feminine energy and how it translated to me becoming a book writer, because I have this space uniquely enough to where I can control my masculine and feminine energies from the standpoint of I just naturally can drop into a feminine state or a masculine state while looking masculine on the outside. So I do attribute that to my mom and my sister the most, but I also want to say thank you to all the women out there that have really helped me along my spiritual journey, and the women that have helped me become a more knowledgeable man on how to be empathetic towards women and be empathetic towards just people in general. I do think empathy is such a unique trait that I think a lot of men specifically lack because they just don't have the emotional intelligence to hold space. And it's tough to hear or it's tough to see, but it is that truth that I think most men don't know how to carry themselves emotionally. So that's why they feel a disconnect with women. And I think it's more prevalent right now in the world today because men aren't tapped into their emotions. But like I said, my mom and my sister, I think, really helped me with that. And also some women down the line have helped me with that. And there are women right now in my life that I'm close with that are really helping me as well tap into that feminine energy. And it's actually made me a better creator, from the standpoint of my businesses, from my spirituality, and just like even like as a person being creative on everyday life. So National Women's Day. So what I learned from my mother and my sister, I guess, first and foremost, is being attentive. And I think being attentive is not just giving your opinion. It's being able to hold space for venting. And I say that because, you know, when my mom or my sister had a rough day and they came home and they brought that energy into the house, they wanted to vent. They wanted to feel heard and they wanted to feel seen. And that's why they would vent or they would level, you know, out everything that was on their mind. And, you know, as a man, sometimes it's not about finding the solution to the problem. That's where there's like a disconnect, in my opinion, is that men try to solve women's problems all the time, and sometimes there is no answer. Sometimes women just want to be heard, and they just want to be seen for who they are, and they just want you to empathize with them. And all you have to do is ask, how do you want me to respond to you? Do you want me to find a solution to this issue or this problem? Or do you just want me to sit and listen? And if she just wants you to sit and listen, you just fucking sit and listen. Like, it's not hard. Like, it's really not hard. We tend to overcomplicate things because of our ego. But the thing is, when a woman wants to come to you with her emotions, you got to be able to hold space for that. And that's not always trying to logically solve issues, because men try to think a little too logically at times. But in the end, like, people just want to be heard. And I think women just want to be heard. So when my sister would come home from a rough day at school and she would vent, you know, when I didn't understand the energetic dynamic, I always tried to give my two cents. But that's not how she wanted to communicate. She just wanted me to vent, or she wanted to vent to me, and she just wanted to be heard. And, you know, honestly, that I think makes the most sense for me, just to listen and to shut up. Because as a guy that wants to solve problems all the time, I think it's actually best for me not to solve problems for family and friends, because I want to be an attentive person in any relationship that I have right now. And I think just holding space for women to vent started when I was younger with my sister and my mom too. Because my mom definitely had rough days, whether it was at work or at home. My mom took care of me when I was sick with cancer, and she was always praying for me. She held it down for me spiritually. She always kept me at peace. She always kept me at bay. And mom, I love you. I love you so much. And I know you're listening, and I really appreciate you always supporting me, because that's rare. And I want to thank you for how much temperance you hold in your heart, because it is truly amazing to see how free-spirited you are, but like how grounded you are at the same time, because in the end, you want to help people and you want to heal people. And I really think that healer archetype that I have now stems from you specifically. So thank you, Mom. I love you so much. And my sister Callie, you know, thank you for keeping it real with me, but also allowing me to understand women better and to understand you better. And having that being said, I appreciate you being there when I needed it most. And I appreciate you just loving me for who I am. And you are an irreplaceable person in my life. You are my best friend. I tell people that all the time, because I think family is one of the most important things for me. And you, my friend Callie, you are just the greatest ears a brother could ask. Excuse me, a brother could ask for. And then I also want to thank a person that's not here on this earth, but she's here in spirit, my grandmother, Kathleen. I want to thank her for taking care of me when I was sick. When she was sick, she died of lung cancer when I was young, and what that really taught me was, you know, she had the strength to not just take care of herself, but to take care of a child who was also sick, and my mom was there too, but you know, I think my grandmother was like an extra like set of hands, you know, in the house. And, you know, I think that's why my family is so close and dynamic, is because we grew up in a house where we had multiple sick, you know, family members, and we had to rally around that. But my grandmother, she was tough as fuck. She was a tough ass woman, but I'm grateful for that. She knew how to discipline, but she also knew how to uplift me when I needed it the most. I remember, like, because granted, she died when I was in second grade, so obviously, like, sports and those things weren't, you know, the biggest thing. But I remember when I had, like, bad games in sports, which, I mean, it's crazy because I was in kindergarten, first grade, so it wasn't that serious. But I was a competitor, and, you know, losing was never fun. And having a bad game was never fun. You know, my dad was definitely more of the coach than the father at that point, and that's okay. But my grandmother was there. My grandmother always, I remember she always gave me a hug, and, you know, she always told me that I was great, even if I wasn't great, because she was proud of me for putting myself out there and giving it my all, because she knew I did give it my all, even if it wasn't enough or wasn't great. She knew I did my best, and she also knew that I was sick, so I didn't have the strength physically like most of the kids did my age. So, and yeah, she was a blessing. She still is a blessing. She's definitely one of my biggest heroes. Always will be my biggest hero. And yeah, I mean, you know, my biggest heroes in my, you know, just in my life are women. And it's kind of crazy because, like, the strength that women have held for me is always in a spiritual context, because they never gave up on life, and they never gave up on me, which I think it speaks volumes, and it speaks to the character that my mom, my sister, my grandmother have, and even my other grandmother too, as well, that is still with us. She is still alive. She's also been the biggest supporter of me, and I appreciate you too, Grandma. I appreciate you for always having my back and always supporting me and always coming to my games, always cheering me on. You're the best. And man, I mean, I can go on and on about my family and those things. But I also want to talk about some of the women that I've met over the past few years that have been a huge blessing. Alexa is definitely one, and we go on Instagram Live, so you know who she is, but she's been such an abundant presence for me. Like, she's really helped me understand the spiritual realm better with her access to it, and she's taught me so many things that I've kind of invoked into my own practice. So, you know, I'm really grateful for Alexa and what she brings. I'm also thankful for Kim, the Cosmic Baddie. She's done a lot for me too. I appreciate all that she's done, and all the healing that she's given me, all the support that she's given me, and clarity. You know, that is second to none, just the best experience or relationship that a guy can ask for. So I'm super grateful. I'm also super grateful for a couple other friends. Brooke, I appreciate you and your support of the CCK and just like our friendship together. Same with you, Allie. Allie, you've been an amazing presence as well. I appreciate you and helping me with yoga, and also helping me with the meditations and actually enlightening me on a lot of things. And that's the beautiful thing about women, is women have this special connection with the ethereal world, or like the spiritual realm, that they just know how to speak things into existence, and they know how to tap into concepts on a deeper level. With proper research, yes, but they can actually do it with their own intuition. I think that's what makes women such a like powerful just species, group of species, or a powerful gender, I should say. You know, women have this capacity to love at such a high frequency and build the life they want to build with their thoughts, their words, their actions, and their movements. They don't necessarily have to use their hands though, because like in the 3D world, like men use their hands to build things, but women use their thoughts and their words and their actions and habits. That doesn't have to revolve around their hands physically. It's like all mental, spiritual, and emotional. It's their connection. And when women connect on a deeper level, they have the ability to show you parts of yourself that you don't necessarily see. And I think what the beautiful thing about divine feminine energy is, when you help someone tap into that divine feminine, it not just only brings out your masculine energy, but it also brings out sides of you that you didn't even know you had, emotions in you that you didn't even know you had, feelings that you didn't even know you had. Because a woman's intuition, a woman's gut feeling is very sound. And they don't have to necessarily think through things. They can feel through things. And when they feel through things, that's when their decision making is the most clear. Now, to counter that, sometimes when there's like an unhealthy gut, or there's like an unhealthy unrest in that person's body or spirit, then it can mess up the intuition of a woman. And for a guy, when he's doing drugs, addicted to dopamine, when a guy's not mentally clear, he's weak and he's easy to take advantage of. That's kind of similar to women as well, with their kind of with their gut feeling in quote unquote, when they're not sound physically, that will affect their spiritual connection, mental connection, and emotional connection as well. So you got to stay sharp, and you really got to feel into a woman, whether you're a man dating a woman, or you have a sister, or a woman dating a woman even, or yeah, just like when you're in, like, just connected, you see women every day, like, you know, whether it's friends or family, or you're just going out somewhere, you're going to interact with a woman at some point in time. And that's the thing. When you understand the spiritual presence that a woman has to offer this world, you show a lot more respect, and you show a lot more gratitude towards that woman. And I respect their feminine energy so much, in a way of, I have this like just immaculate respect for women's creativity, because women create such beautiful pieces of art. And the greatest work of art that a woman creates is her, like her body creating a child, which is such a beautiful thing. So like, imagine you can take that concept, a woman creating another human, another soul into the world. But imagine that energy also being utilized in different forms, like music, art, business, meditation, yoga, like any sort of movement. A woman has that capacity to do that. Like, that's why a woman can be unstoppable in the 3D world, because a woman has the ability to create a human life, a whole nother life, a whole nother person in her body. That's incredible. Like, you can forget all the woo-woo hippie shit. Just think about a woman creating another human for 9 months in her own body, giving her resources to that baby, her emotions, her thoughts, her feelings, everything from that woman that she interacts with in the world goes to the child. That's fucking crazy. And that is why it's just an amazing relationship to have with women, just on different levels. It doesn't have to be romantic. Now, romantic relationships with women are beautiful, and experiencing that is a beautiful thing as a man, and being able to say that, it's awesome, it's great. But like, having the relationships I do as business partners, as friends, family, like having that interaction with feminine energy, the divine feminine, is a beautiful thing. And that's how it got me into my writing. So my writing was something that I've been passionate about since I was a child, like since I was in grade school. I remember, like, I wasn't a great English student. I wasn't a great writer, but the thing about me was I was able to write poetry. Like, that was my thing. Every poetry assignment I had in grade school was 100%. And I was always really good at it. And one of my teachers was like, "You should enter this poetry writing contest." And I did. And I got published into the American Library of Poetry. It was a poem about summer. So I was in sixth grade, seventh grade, I think. And I got offered to get published again in the American Library of Poetry. So I was like, man, I'm actually like pretty good at this stuff. So I kept with it, but never in a deeper level. Like I didn't read all the classics. I mean, I read Edgar Allan Poe. I read some Ernest Hemingway. I mean, obviously I read Shakespeare and stuff because I had to. I read Homer. I did read some classics, but that wasn't my whole purpose. Like, actually, I really enjoy Rupi Kaur. Milk and Honey was one of my favorite books that really inspired me to write my own poetry books. And I just loved writing. And getting into writing was my feminine creative outlet that just let me express myself in the confines of whatever structure I wanted, and nobody else got to see it. Like, nobody had to see it. That was the beautiful part about it. And I think what I'm most grateful for is being able to put those words onto paper and to put those thoughts into sentences and to be able to poetically state how I felt was like very unique. And being able to process my thoughts at such a depth is something that I'm really proud of in terms of fully immersing myself into art. I would say art. And then, so I wrote Virtues and Vices, in, I want to say it was like out of, it was in college. I remember I was like a junior in college and I was going to be a senior, and I was like, I definitely got to, I don't know. I just, so I got out of, or I was getting out of a relationship, and I was thinking about just like all the virtues and vices that I was living by my whole life. Like, this breakup made me think of so much. It just made me think of all the things that I was addicted to and all the things that I could have been, but I chose not to be. And now I am choosing to be, which is really dope. So when I decided to do Virtues and Vices, my first poetry book, I was in college. I was in my junior year of college, and basically what happened was I was in this relationship that just was not serving me, and I was pondering on all the things that I just felt were not fully aligned with my life in terms of like addictions and in terms of just not fully serving the universe and the universe is calling for me. But I'm happy to be in this place that I'm at now because of how college ended up for me. So I just wrote about, the virtues and vices of life because I based it on the cardinal virtues and the seven deadly sins. That's what this piece of writing was based on. So when I wrote that book, I put a lot of rudimentary or elementary, I should say, concepts in there. So it had the seven deadly sins and it had the cardinal virtues. It was like a 50-page book, so it wasn't long, and it was talking about just like all the different feelings that came up with how I felt about greed, lust, gluttony, because like I went through all those deadly sins. Like I went through greed, I went through lust, I went through gluttony, I went through sloth. Like I went through all of these seven deadly sins at one point in time. But then I also went through love, charity, and the cardinal virtues. I went through that, you know, palette of emotions, or like palette of good deeds and good works. So having that balance and knowledge of both gave me opportunity to speak on those things and reflect on those things even at a young age, because I had that self-awareness. And I think that's what makes me a powerful tool, is my self-awareness is so keen on providing balance to good and evil, or good and bad, because you kind of need both in order to create a life for yourself. Like, you can't have the perfect life, you can't always be good. Like, I've noticed that. Like, you can't be this person who is going to be good all the time. You have to make mistakes. You have to have urges. Like, you have to have certain things that aren't necessarily quote-unquote good, because that's just a construct of your ego. And the construct of your ego is going to make you do things that make you feel safe. And in order to feel safe, you kind of have to go against, you kind of have to go with societal norms, because it's safer to go with societal norms than to be different from society. Because when you're different from society, you face loneliness, you face the risk of being broke, you face the risk of like losing things, you face the risk of not having stability, like you face the risk of chaos. But when you go with the society's norms to protect yourself, you honestly just go through a cycle of pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with pleasure, but you just go through the same cycles over and over again. And that's not how life was meant to be. You know, you think of people that, let's just go with people that, you know, hop from job to job. The reason they do that is because they don't feel safe within themselves. And if they don't feel safe within themselves, they're going to keep jumping to new situations where you have to onboard, you have to learn, and then you don't have to necessarily prove a lot, or you get bored easily. You know, same with relationships. If you jump around from relationship to relationship, you don't sit with yourself as a single person, you aren't going to learn anything about yourself. And you're just going to rely on other people to do it for you. So that's what I was learning in college. And I had that self-awareness, and I just wanted to put that on paper. So that was kind of like my journaling at that time, was writing poetry. And writing poetry is such a unique concept for me, because it's kind of like music. And I love hip-hop music, so I love Kendrick Lamar. So I played Damn over and over again when I was writing, you know, this book. And being able to feel the words of Kendrick was an amazing concept. And the thing was, I wasn't even like on psychedelics. I wasn't smoking weed at that time. Like, I remember my sophomore junior year, like I was drinking a little bit, but I wasn't on hard drugs. I was sober consciousness doing all these things. I was writing all these things out while I was sober, which I think makes it even a better story for me, because I have that consciousness and that awareness to come up with these beautiful thoughts. So I came out with the first book, and people were like, whoa, this kid did it. Like, he came out with his first book. And it honestly was such a interesting like experience, like people talking about me as like a published author, because I just thought of it as an outlet that could maybe help others. Some people were like, you know, trying to think that I was trying to like put myself in a position to be, I wouldn't say financially free, but like in a position to get paid to write, which wasn't necessarily my goal. I mean, if I could get paid to write, you know, at some point in life, that would be the dream. Absolutely. I'd love to do public speaking. Absolutely. I'd love to get paid to do that. But that wasn't my initial intention. My initial intention was just to help people that were going through the same things that I was going through. And I just spoke those things through writing. And yeah, I'm just a very introspective guy. So finding that key point was in my religion at that time, was in my relationship at that time, and was in my deep subconscious thoughts that I was afraid to speak out about, because I was in therapy in college at that time, but I just never knew how to creatively speak my mind. Oh, had to get some water in me. Okay, so fast forward, first book, you know, wasn't obviously, I wasn't like a New York Times bestseller, but I was able to get spark some attention, which was awesome. But it definitely wasn't like a New York Times bestseller, which I'm okay with. And that being said, I go to this second book concept. So after I graduate and I start working a job at Make-A-Wish, I lost my writing touch for a little bit, but then after COVID hit and I had more time on my hands, I was like writing about so many things that I didn't know I had buried deep within me. And the thing was, I was not sober for a lot of those writings. That's what people don't know. I was addicted to alcohol, like to an extreme amount. And I think a lot of people relate to that, just, or it resonates with a lot of people, because alcohol is like the most mainstream marketed substance. I mean, I still drink now. So I went sober for about 4 months. I have a drink though every now and then. I mean, actually lately I've been more social with drinking for sure. So, I mean, it's definitely like once a week or maybe a couple times a week right now. Now I will tone it back for sure. Because I know when I want to lock in on certain things, I'm going to do that. But I mean, so when I wrote this book specifically, when I wrote The Good and the Evil, I was very drunk in a lot of those writings. I remember I would get super drunk. Like I'd drink like probably 2 double whiskeys. So like 4 shots of whiskey, maybe 5 shots, 6 shots of whiskey a night. It was pretty bad. But what I did was when I was drunk, I would just write everything out and I would like listen to music. And I just like, I wrote some very dark shit. And when you read the evil section of my book, you feel those demons come out. And that, people actually say that is the most beautiful part about The Good and the Evil. And that's why, like, I sold a really good amount of copies. The thing is, like, royalties, you don't really make a lot, especially when you sign with a publisher. So I was, a bestseller at that time. But, you know, with the royalties and stuff, it didn't really reflect, which was, you know, that was my own fault. I didn't do my due diligence. But a lot of people loved my second book, The Good and the Evil, because it was the most raw form of me. And I actually wasn't even like, I felt like I wasn't even fully authentic with myself, which is kind of crazy because, I mean, when you think about it, like when you're drunk, like you're not fully there. But the thing was, my subconscious was unlocked because I was drunk, you know, drunken words or sober thoughts. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that saying, but I truly believe the drunkenness brings out your subconscious thoughts to the fullest degree. And I say that because when I was drunk writing about really dark topics that I went through either as a child or in college, like witnessing the things that I witnessed and going through the things that I went through, like being stabbed in the back, being traumatized, and being manipulated by people, And having those and having those angry moments building up within me was hard. Like, it was super hard. And I compounded it with drinking, and then I'd lash out. And lashing out to me was like talking shit to someone, or like getting kind of personal with it, or taking jabs at people, and just like being angry with my words. And like, I never like would fight people when I was drunk, or I wasn't like physically aggressive with people, but there was definitely like this mental aggression with myself. So yeah, when I was drinking, I get blacked out, and I would like say shit that like I didn't mean, but it was just like my subconscious being angry with people. That's why I did what I did. That's why I got to that state of low vibe to write, because I wanted people to see the real me, which wasn't pretty. Because on Instagram, like, I put myself out there as like this perfect person, perfect face, perfect body, perfect mind. Like, oh my God, this guy is such an upstanding guy. And it's like, I mean, I never did illegal things or like hurt people, I guess, but you know, I was definitely in a darker time in my early 20s, late teens, because I had all these traumas build up. So a lot of anger, a lot of hate. But on the flip side, I got to feel the good in terms of love, and I got to feel the good in terms of being respected, being valued for my brain, being valued for my emotions and my feelings, not just my physical body, in terms of like football is a very physically violent sport. So going through that sport was rough on me. But like, I was only valued for my body as a football player, and like, that's how I felt with like, you know, dating and like those sorts of, it was like very superficial. So my body only being valued made me want to write the book after college, when I didn't have football anymore, and when I didn't have all the glorifying things that came with football. Just because it doesn't even matter like what level you're at. If you were an athlete, people really put you on a pedestal no matter what. So it was definitely like that experience, though, out of college, not having football and then drinking a lot and having just that open dialogue with myself, was why I wrote The Good and the Evil. And that's why people love it, because it's the rawest thing, you know, I ever put out there. John O'Leary, the motivational speaker, endorsed me. And to me, that was a big deal, because John O'Leary is, you know, a millionaire. He survived a fire. He did a lot of things to become great. And for him to support me on this publication, even though it was dark at its moments and it had its, you know, pieces where you would cry, there was a lot of beauty in it as well. And for him to see that, I think, was rewarding for me. So The Good and the Evil was just a reflection of how I felt when the dust was settling outside of my programming, and I started to live on my own. I started to think on my own. I started to do stuff on my own and meet people on my own, and have choices. So just having that experience, I thought, was really unique and really gratifying. So, you know, that turning out to be a bestseller was one of the, most confidence boosting events leading up to where I'm at now. And where I'm at now is, I have this third book out, this meditative book, this devotional book that you do every day called Grand Rising Universe, publishing that on my own, going to book signings, getting endorsed by other authors and like other people, and people really seeing the value that I bring in the spiritual space has been very rewarding. And I know that I have this ability to really impact lives on a deeper level. And when I got out of an abusive relationship and I had to look inward, I asked the universe for answers to my questions. Like, what was I meant to do? Well, who was I meant to be? I'm not meant to be someone's boyfriend. Like, I'm not just here to be the supportive boyfriend. I'm here to be Cooper. Like, I'm not here to just provide babies and money and all that. Like, I'm here for more than that. And as much as I want to provide and protect a woman, which the women in my life have shown me that, you know, I can do that, and I, you know, deserve spiritual peace from the woman as well. I guess to be clear, I have the ability to connect with my feminine side through meditation. And I figured that out when I got out of an abusive relationship with a masculine woman and got out of a relationship where I had to be both the feminine and the masculine at a very hyper level, and my nervous system never got a break. So when I got the break finally that I wanted, being on my own and being single and not dating and being celibate and not drinking either and all that stuff, I really found questions for the universe. I didn't know who I was, and writing helped me find who I am, because writing is the manifestation of my thoughts. So I had to change my programming in terms of, okay, if my words and my thoughts come to life, they come to fruition, I manifest, I gotta ask questions. And asking questions of who I'm meant to be and who I am as a person was not easy, but I'm glad I took the time to do it, because that's where I got to the Cooper that I am now. And the Cooper that I am now is such a beautiful soul, and people are, you know, over the moon about it, and they want to, you know, be around me as a magnet. Like, I feel magnetic now because of all the work that I've done, literally over like a 3 or 4 year period. Because I started meditating in like 2020, like when COVID happened, but I just like did the guided meditations. I never tapped in on my own. And then I started healing my own subconscious wounds by myself. And I came up with my own meditations and visualizations. And I'm like, damn, I'm really good at this. I can definitely share this with other people. And that's when I started my own business. And that's when I published this book. And it all goes hand in hand, because when you become a magnet of abundance, you want to share that knowledge with other people, but it's not easy to share, because some people just don't want that answer. They don't want to connect with themselves, and they don't want to connect with God or the universe, or, you know, whatever higher power you identify with the most. That's where the gap is. It's beautiful. Like, it really is beautiful. And I think we're at a time now that we are creating more spiritual knowledge for ourselves. And that's why tapping into writing and writing your own book. And a lot of people want to write their own book. It's not for the faint of heart. It's very difficult, because you have to discipline yourself and dedicate time to do it every single day. And you can't let any distractions occur, from the standpoint of, like, the reason I went sober for 4 months was because I was writing this book at a very aggressive pace, and I wanted it to be as sharp as can be, and I wanted it to be a profound experience for the reader itself. So World Book Day. I love reading. I've read The Power of Now. I've read A New Earth. I've read Waking Up in 5D. I've read Conversations with God. The Psychology of Money. I've read a lot of different pieces of literature, but I definitely enjoy the concepts of business, the concepts of spirituality, and the concepts of creativity. I think that's what intrigues me the most. So, yeah, I think that's a lot for what came through today for me. But just remember this: if you want to go far in life, no matter where that is, you got to document your journey. And that's why journaling is such a therapeutic tool. When you document every single step of your journey, you can actually put that into a book format. And then you can actually, that's how you can actually help people, is because people want authenticity. People want to know the real you. They want to know what went on behind the scenes to get to where you are now. Like people want to know how you got to the finished product. That's why vlogging is so popular nowadays, because people want to know the sauce for success. And it looks different from everyone, but there are similar concepts that people can grab, whether it's, a morning routine, or it's a mindset, or it's a meditation. It's different for everyone, but there are common signs for success. So just find those, write them out, journal them out, and ask God what you want, ask the universe what you want, and you can have it as long as you show some initiative to get to that place in life. So be you, be authentic, always keep writing. Excuse me. Thank you for listening to this. I want to give another shout out to the ladies, Mom, Callie, Nana, Grandma Jane, Alexa, Kimmy, just a lot of people to thank right now. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the women that have taught me great lessons about divine feminine, and the women that have shown a lot of love to me on a deep level, and all the women that have shown me what love truly is on the divine feminine side. And thank you for showing me that beauty, so then I can reciprocate that, and then also put that into words, because I've been able to write about my experiences with the divine feminine energy, and it's so beautiful. So thank you for letting me express myself, ladies. Happy National Women's Day. I have all the love for you. I appreciate all of you. I hope nothing but the best for all of you, and I hope a lot of healing for you. You've done so much work on your own to heal yourselves, and I hope the masculine side of the world does it too. Hopefully the men catch up with you. We're doing our best, but we can definitely do better. So thank you for being you. Thank you for being beautiful. I appreciate y'all. Love you so much. Have a blessed weekend. Stay blessed.